10. Let's go back where we was this morning. We'll launch out into the deep. Well, nope, that's not the one I need. It's this one I need, amen. John chapter number 10. And when you get there, if you're willing and physically able to stand up with me together tonight, John chapter 10. Appreciate the truth of that song. Glad he hears us when we pray. Amen. I bless the Lord. Good to be saved. Ain't nothing worth going to hell for. This is the best life. One writer, songwriter said, and even if there was no heaven waiting for me when I died, I'd still walk with Jesus. Amen. Even if there wasn't no heaven, even we just die and it was just it, living for Jesus is still the best life. Amen. It's the best life. Amen. John chapter 10, verse number 1, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your mercy, and your love. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for the privilege we have to open up God's Word. Lord, I'm reminded of many places tonight where this is not allowed. This is a special privilege, and Lord, we take it so lightly, and I pray you forgive us of that. Lord, I pray as we open up the wonderful words of life tonight, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray you'd change us. I pray you'd bind Satan, bind the forces of hell that want to hinder this service and this message tonight. I pray you'd go forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost tonight. We'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We begin this morning by looking at John chapter number 10. And we gave a little bit of the context. Jesus is talking about the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that was something new to them Jews and those Pharisees standing around there, because the only thing they'd ever known was a sheep dying for the shepherd. But when Jesus came, he turned that thing around. He has a way of turning things around. He turned that thing around and said, it ain't going to be the sheep dying for the shepherd anymore, but the shepherd's going to give his life for the sheep. Amen. And I bless the Lord for that tonight. What we have focused in on this thought is we know that we are his sheep. Psalm 103 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad that I belong to him tonight. We said there were three ways that a shepherd could attain a sheep. That little lamb could be born into his fold. He could be purchased into his fold, or he could be adopted into his fold. And I'm glad I got in all three ways. I was born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I have been bought with a price. I have been redeemed. I am not my own. But thank God, when the devil left me high and dry, there came somebody along and said, I'll be your new daddy and I'll take care of you. Amen. I got in all three ways, and I bless the Lord for it tonight. This fact that we're looking at, though, is in verse number 3. He says he calleth his own sheep by name. Now, he doesn't call somebody else's sheep, but he calls his own sheep by name. Are you hearing me tonight? And so we're looking at this thought of he calleth his own by name. And I've been looking at the different places through the Gospels where Jesus called somebody specifically by their name. We find this morning we looked at Zacchaeus there in Luke chapter number 19. And there is a group of people that each one of them represents. Zacchaeus, he represents the depraved, and the depraved need to be redeemed. And what I'm simply saying tonight is that Zacchaeus, he needed a Savior. He needed Jesus in his life. I'm just helping him out. He's a little indecisive. decisive. Amen. He needed Jesus in his life. He needed the Lord to do a work in his life. He needed to be redeemed. And you know where they met? They met at the foot of a tree. Amen. And aren't you glad when you were lost without God and depraved that you met Jesus at the foot of a tree? I still ain't got over the fact he told Zacchaeus, he said, come down from there. I can't help but think he said, hey, I'm going to be the one getting up on a tree. You don't have to worry about that. I'm glad he took my place. I'm glad he paid my penalty. I'm glad he paid my cost. And I'm glad most of all that when he saved me by the grace of God, he called my name. Now, if you've never had Jesus call your name, it'd be a good night to get saved. I'm not talking about an audible voice. It's much louder than that. We could talk to each one of you tonight about the night or the morning that God saved you. And no doubt people testify that I've heard more than one testify. Preacher, I felt like it was my last opportunity. I felt like if I didn't get saved then, I wasn't going to get saved at all. I don't know if everybody's not that way, but aren't you glad that if that was your last time, he called out your name one last time. Strike 7, strike 8, strike 9. I'm still rejoicing over that. If you can't tell, amen. I'm glad he loves me too much to call me out. Amen. So we dealt with that, the fact that he calls the depraved and they need redemption. I want to look one chapter ahead tonight in John chapter number 11, and I find another person that Jesus specifically called their name. You know him well tonight. We know him by the man by the name of Lazarus. And in this morning we looked, he calls the depraved and they need redemption. But tonight I want to look at this thought. He calls the dead, and they need revival. He calls the depraved, they need redemption. But he calls the dead, and they need revival. I want to look at this chapter. I have 9 points, but don't let that scare you. I'm going to run through them quick tonight, but I was trying to cut some out, and there's just too much stuff in there, so I'm going to run through them quick. You'll be glad to know there's only 2 sub-points under each one of the 9 points. Count your blessings. It could have been 3. Count your blessings. Number 1, we find the special crowd in verse number 5. You see, the Bible said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Here's my thought process. You got to go with me now. I preached it before that I believe there's nothing wrong, but in this text, I don't see Lazarus as a lost man. Here's why. Number 1, he's in the family. Bible said that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus has been at his house. He's in the family. He's around the people of God, if you would. Not only is he in the family, he's favored. Notice the Bible said, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. And it gives the idea of Jesus, this is Lazarus. This ain't anybody. You love Lazarus, and Lazarus loves you. So I believe that this is a special crowd. Can I say this? Revival has never been for the lost. They are dead in their trespass and sin. They've never been revived. You know what revival means? It means to bring back to life. It means something at one point had life and it needs to be brought back to life. So Lazarus at one point in his life, he had life. He was living. But now through a series of circumstances, he's getting ready to die. The special crowd. Number 2. See, we're moving pretty quick. Count your blessings. The sickness that came. You see, knowing the special crowd, he was in the family and he was favored or he had a friend. I can't remember what I put in your notes. One of those, either one of those would be fine. But we find the sickness that came. I find this picture of sickness. I find this sickness, if you'll work with me, I believe it pictures sin. Now, I know this is not the case in every situation. But majority of the time, when we get sick physically, it's because we haven't been taking care of ourselves. Be honest. Or we've been around somebody who's infected us. And we've not, watch this now, we've not purified our hands. We call it sanitized. You can get sick by your immune system being low. You're not building up what's in you. I wish I had somebody. You can get sick that way. Or you can get sick by what's around you. And can I say this? That's the way sin works. If you don't build up that immune, I don't want to use the word immune, that spirit of God, that inner man on the inside, if he is not built up and grown, and if you're not purifying your hands and purifying your heart, cleansing your hands and purifying your heart, you're double-minded, then you are going to be susceptible to getting sick spiritually. That makes sense. You see where I'm kind of going with that? I know not in every case. I know sickness comes when you don't expect it, but majority of the time, most doctors would agree, it's because somebody's not taking care of themselves. The sickness that came. What did this sickness do to Lazarus? I believe it done two things to him that it'll do to a church or to a Christian when we allow the sin of sickness to get in our life. Number one, it took his liberty. He's bedbound. He can't get up and go to Jesus now. He's confined to his house. He's confined to his bed. And can I say this? When you allow the sickness of sin to rule your life, it'll take your liberty that's in Christ. It may appear to give you liberty, but what it's doing is taking your liberty. And it's putting chains around you. It's binding you. You'll see it in the text. It bound him up. It had him all tied up. Took his liberty away. Can I say this? When sin gets in the life of a Christian, or when sin gets in the life of a church, it'll begin to bind things down. It'll begin to lock things down. Is this making sense tonight, or we need to go home? It'll begin to lock things down and bind things down. The sickness that came, it took his liberty. But we know ultimately it took his life. It killed him. He died. He died because of that sickness. And can I say this? I still believe that if a person is saved by the grace of God and they continue to live in sin, I believe God will kill them. Now, that ain't popular preaching. 2018, you used to hear it a lot back in the 70s and 80s. And maybe even more in the 60s. But I still believe that. I believe God takes people out because of sin. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Some of you can probably even think of people, you stories you've heard about people wouldn't get right with God. So I said, well, preacher, what about all these people that say they're saved and they're living like the devil? God don't discipline those that are not His. You're young in the ministry. You listen because there's going to be some mossy back Baptist going to argue with you about this. But everybody that went out in the world was not saved.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? Everybody that goes out was not saved.
Amen.
There may be a few that gets out. I know we got some that went out and come back, but not all of them.
Right.
Mark Stroud leaned over to me yesterday and said there's only one prodigal in the Bible, and he came home. I said, that's pretty good. And brilliance struck me, and I said, and he never left again.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, boy, I felt the Lord on that right there. Can I tell you, Brother Andy Wells said this about that fatty calf. He said, you know why it's a fatty calf? It wasn't a fat cow, because that boy wasn't gone that long. And he says, a lot of people, they think that they got, well, my youngins, he's saved. He's just out in the world. Well, he may be, that may be the case. But if he's been out a long time, he made it to get John 3:3 born again.
Amen.
Amen. Took his life away. I don't know how I got off on that. But can I say this? Oh, I know how I got off on it. The Holy Ghost led me there. Amen. Can I tell you this tonight? But if you allow sin to rule your life, we allow sin to get into the church. And we always think about sin getting in the church as some gross, immoral sin. And certainly that can happen. But if you allow feelings and Brother Sammy Allen was at the meeting this week and he's 84 years old. I got to stand next to him and sing. Did I tell y'all that? I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited. Got a picture sent to me today. I'm pretty excited about it. I've seen him more than once take a songbook, put it on his shoulder, and he said, that's how people come to church, wanting somebody to knock their feelings off their shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. But Sam said, because you got your feelings sticking out about that long, then you wonder why somebody hits it. Oh, yes. If you've ever heard Brother Sam, that's how he preaches. Amen. That's exactly right. What I'm saying tonight is you better watch that sin of sickness.
Yeah.
It'll take your life. It'll take your liberty away in Christ. That makes sense? Are we on the right? I feel like we're on the right direction. The special crowd, the sickness that came, the Savior that was called, number three. These sisters did the one thing they knew to do. They called on Jesus. When a church, when an individual needs revival, they don't need to call some hotshot evangelist. Evangelists are gifts to the church. Those are the scriptural evangelists. Amen. We're going to have one here Sunday, Brother Caldwell. He's a scriptural evangelist. He's a gift to the church. And we're going to enjoy his gift on Sunday. Somebody say amen right there. But, Brother, I believe this. I say this all the time. I can't bring revival, but I ought to have revival when I go. The preacher can't bring revival, but he ought to be revived when he gets here. But notice this, they didn't call for their favorite evangelist. They didn't call for their favorite faith healer there in Bethany, handing out handkerchiefs and all that funny stuff. It's so fun. Time out. It's so fun. We had this quack down here on Old Salisbury Conkle Road, some Sloan Lake place. Years ago, he was passing out handkerchiefs, prosperity, and then was like praying for people to send money to his church so they could pay off their debt. I'm like, why don't you use your handkerchiefs there? Just saying. Just saying. He's a quack anyway. He used to be a Baptist and he just compromised. Loser. But anyway, amen. Y'all pray for me that I'll start speaking my mind. I really have a hard time with that. Y'all pray that I get a little liberty with that. The Savior was called. They didn't call some faith healer. They called for Jesus. Notice their desperation. Number one, their desperation. They said, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, he's sick. I don't see somebody, the messenger, I don't see him say, hey, Jesus, you know, Lazarus, he's sick, so if you mind, you know, if you don't mind coming by. I believe that man says, Lazarus, but Jesus, Lazarus, you know, Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, you spent many days there eating. Mary sat at your feet, you and Lazarus fellowship. He's sick, Jesus. They want you to come. And some of y'all wouldn't like, y'all, some of y'all you want Jesus for your pastor. You wouldn't like Jesus for your pastor. Made no hospital visits. He didn't. He said, okay. He waited 2 days. There's me look back at my notes because I got young people taking notes and I'm glad they are, and sometimes I get ahead of the game. The desperation, the delay. He abode 2 days in the same place. God does not work on our time schedule. You are not going to put God in a box and say, you got to work within this. He'll break out of your box. The desperation, the delay, the death. Look at verse 14. I think this is one of the funniest verses in the Bible. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. For your sakes that I was not there. Heard a fellow preach one time, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. The death. There's the desperation, the delay, the death, the divine reasoning. Here's why he's glad. To the intent that ye, he ain't talking to Mary and Martha, he's talking to the disciples, that ye may believe. As far as I can tell, this is the last great miracle he done. What's interesting to me, Brother Richie, they've been walking with him this long, and they still don't believe. I didn't have that in my notes. The Lord just touched my heart with that. They've been walking with him all these years. It's the last great miracle he's done. And he said, I'm doing this so you'll believe. They've seen so much. In fact, in John 12 said, but though they've seen so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. The Savior, the special crowd, the sickness that came, the Savior that was called. Now watch this, number four, the sister's conclusion. I ain't going to read all the verses 20 through 32. Both of these sisters made the same statement to Christ, but with two different attitudes, in two different spirits. Verse 21, one spoke with anger. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She's right. Because you can't die around the resurrection and the life. You can't die around the life. And she knew that. But her spirit's wrong. She spoke out. Hey, don't get mad at God. We would never put in the vehicle of words that we were mad at God. But many of us have been there before. Because see, if you're like me, I've had things planned out how it was supposed to go. Are you hearing me? Talk to me now. This is going to happen here. And this is going to lead to this. And this is going to happen here. It's going to lead to that. And everything's just going to be wonderful. And how many of you know you have all that laid out and then God walks by and smashes your plans. And you, like any good Baptist, get your feelings hurt. Except it's not at Sister Susie or Brother Joe. You got hurt at the Lord. Because he didn't do it like you thought he should have. And you know the truth. You know he's able. It's not a question about his ability. We preached about that last Sunday. There's no question about that. One spoke with anger. But watch Mary. That was Martha. Watch this one. Mary, she spoke with anguish. She gets down at his feet. Watch this now. And I ain't going to read the verse for the sake of time. Jesus, well, I will. We ain't got nowhere else to go tonight. Casa Grande service was terrible last Sunday night. We ain't going there again. Somebody say amen. Verse number, let's see here. Right here. Verse 20. Then or verse 18. Now Bethany was 9, or Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Heard Eddie Davis say this years ago. Look at verse 30. I'm going to give you a statement. Now Jesus was not yet coming to the place of the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Until Mary got out of the house, Jesus did not enter into Bethany. You know what we'll do? We won't get in God's face and point our finger because we respect Him too much. But you know what we'll do? We'll sit in the house, have a pity party. I know He can. I thought He said He loved us, Brother Charles. I mean, all the meals Martha's cooked for Him, I've worshipped at His feet. I thought He loved us. Yeah, I know He's coming, but I'm not going out to see Him. I'm offended at Him. Some of you tonight, spiritually, you're sitting in the house. Jesus is right at the edge of your miracle. But He's waiting on you to get out of the house. Eddie Davis made this statement. Lazarus would have never got out of the tomb until Mary got out of the house. Let me run through these again. The special crowd, the sickness that came, the Savior that was called, the sister's conclusion. Watch this now. The stone that covered the tomb. Verse 39. Verse 38. Jesus therefore groaning Himself coming to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Number one, it was an obstacle. It was something. Remember, Lazarus is the dead guy, the dead church, the dead Christian needs revival. You still follow my train of thought now? And between him and the help he needs is a big old rock. It was an obstacle. What is that thing that's between you and God that's hindering Him from working in your life? We could preach a whole message on what stone is in God's way. Can I say this to you? Brother Charles, I believe that Jesus is able. He could have spoke right through that stone. And there ain't no doubt about it. But God has a way, Brother Mike, of teaching us things. And we're scratching our head. Well, I know He can do that. Why is He doing it? He's wanting you to get right. He's wanting you to get real. Some of you tonight, you have the stone of bitterness blocking Jesus from working in your life. You have the stone of unforgiveness blocking Jesus from working in your life. The stone of pride. The stone of envy. The stone of covetousness. I don't know what it is. I'm just naming off things. Is it really worth Jesus being that close? I mean, He's that close. There's an obstacle, but there's an obligation. He looks at them and says, take away the stone. Can I tell you this? Jesus could look at that stone and said, stone, move. And it would roll down the hill. You talk about a rock rolling. It'd been a rock rolling, I promise you that. But I wrote this statement down, and I'm still questioning it, but the more I think about it, I think it's right. Jesus ain't going to do what you can do. You get that? Jesus will not do what you can do. Because if you can do it, you don't need Him. But He will do what you cannot do. So He says, look, I'm here to help you. But you gotta show me you're serious about this first. Boy, we pray, God, would you do this? God said, okay, let's get serious. Let's move this out of the way. I don't know about that, Lord, now. Lord, you messed with everything in my life, but don't mess with that. And that one thing is keeping Lazarus from getting up in your life. Are you hearing me tonight? Talk to me. The special crowd, the sickness that came, the Savior that was called, the sister's conclusion, the stone that covered. This is a desperation for alliteration. But watch this. The summoning of the corpse. Lazarus is still a dead guy. He's a corpse in that grave. Watch this now. Verse number 43. When He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It was personal. Well, I've said it many times. The reason He said, Lazarus, come forth. He could have said, come forth, but every dead person in the graveyard would have got up. That's why He said, hey, Lazarus, come forth. I've always played this out in my mind, Brother Charles. Now, when you're like me, and you're riding through traffic in Atlanta yesterday. Actually, you're sitting in traffic in Atlanta yesterday. and all you have, and it's hands free, and you can't play on your phone. It's a stupid law. Y'all pray North Carolina don't pass that. Hey, Brother Rick. Dumb law, can't answer your phone. But I'll tell you, I put one of them things on my windshield, and I couldn't talk on my phone, Brother Mike. It was a whole lot easier tying my tie riding down the interstate, not having to hold my phone. That was a blessing. You'll get that after a while. But when you're sitting in traffic, and you can't play with your phone, and you're thinking about what you're going to preach, your mind seems to wander. And I was wondering about Lazarus sitting. I mean, he's done crossed it. He's done made it to the other side, man. He's done faced death. He's over there playing checkers with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, enjoying a good time. And all of a sudden he hears, Lazarus. I'd have said, no, Lord. I don't want to go back. Think about poor Lazarus. There's all three bachelors and bachelorettes. None of them ever married. He lived in a house with two women. He's finally got somewhere where he can say something. And he hears, Lazarus, come forth. Poor old Lazarus, you never see when a fellow says anything in the Bible. He got two sisters. He never got a word in, man. He finally over there, and Abraham's, how you doing? And he starts, and he hears Lazarus come forth. Well, he had to obey. It was personal. Can I say, it was passionate. You know why? What Jesus was doing when that happened? The Bible said he was weeping. And he groaned in his spirit because he loved Lazarus. Can I say this? When you're distant and you're dead and you're not on fire for God, it caused Jesus to weep. It caused him to groan in his spirit because he wants you to be with him. He wants you to have that fellowship and that communion, and he groans in his spirit. Does this make any sense? You know why he does that? Because he loves you. He wants to fellowship with you. When I got home last night, the boys have gotten to the point now, they realize when I leave and go somewhere. And my favorite thing to do now is when I come home is they run to the door and they're hugging on me, and Daxon always needs to inform me, Daddy, you back? Thanks, I wasn't too sure. After coming to Atlanta, I wasn't sure where I was at. That's the way the Lord is. Charles, you're back. I've missed our times. I'm just using an illustration. I missed our times of talking, reading my word and praying. It's good to have you back. Richie, it's been a little while. It's good to have you back. Josh, it's been a while. Amen. I'll give you this. The summoning of the corpse. Watch this now. I'm almost done. Number 8. No, excuse me. Number 7. When you got more than 3, you lose count. Watch this. The submission of the Christian. Watch this. He came forth. Real revival is when there's a submission of the will of God for our lives. 2 things. I'm almost done. Number 1, he heard the word. The only thing powerful enough to get Lazarus out of that tomb was the word of God. You know what's going to bring revival? It ain't going to be cute stories and neat illustrations and smoke screens. It's going to be the preaching of God's word. He heard the word. And please excuse this country illustration. And he headed that way. He headed out of the tomb. He said, I've heard the word, watch this now, and I'm not staying here anymore. Yeah. When revival comes and you hear the word, it'll cause you not to want to stay where you're at. But here's the terminology. It'll cause you want to draw nigh to God. Yeah. And if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. That make any sense? Sorry, I'm keeping you up. Watch this now. Number 8, I'm done. Or no, I got 2 more. I'm sorry, I got 8 and 9. The severing of the confinement. I was going to try to cut some of this out, but it's too rich. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. See, because he got sick, because he died, there's things that's got him bound now. And Jesus said, now look, you're out of there. So number 1, there's freedom. He said he's bound hand and foot. The hand pictures work, and the feet pictures walking. You see, when God calls you out of that dark place in revival, it ought to cause you to put your hand in the plow and not look back and walk with God every day of your life. There's freedom, but then there's a focus. He had a napkin about his face. He said, loose him and let him go. He said, here's what I thought. He had to get his vision back. You know when we need revival? It's when we've lost our vision. And where there is no vision, the people perish. That was if we walk by faith and not by sight. Number 9. The special crowd, the sickness that came, the Savior that was called, the sister's conclusion, the stone that covered, the summonings of the corpse, the submission of the Christian, the severing of the confinement. But watch this now. This is very simple, but it's good. John 12, he's having supper with Christ. You know what happens in John 12? They have a good Baptist eating. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. This is very simple. Watch this. At this table, number one, there was food. Can I say this? When revival comes and you get out of that place, you're going to enjoy the food of God's word. You're going to enjoy the bread of life. You're going to enjoy the water of life. And there was fellowship. He sat at the table with Jesus. You know why all this took place? Because Jesus called his name. So, when I was lost, Brother Richie, he called my name when I was depraved. I needed redemption. But there's been a lot of times in my life, more times than I care to admit, where I've not been on fire for God. And I've been like that valley of dead, dry bones. You know what I needed? I needed revival. God's had me preach on revival so much in the month of July. I believe it's because He wants us to have revival.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And it doesn't come through props and puppets and projectors, and I'm not against those in their proper place, but it comes through the preaching and the power and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe you need a little revival tonight. He'll call your name. He'll call your name. You know what we're supposed to do? Somebody said, preacher, how'd they loose him and let him go? Well, how'd he get some kind of a sharp object? We have a sword that can cut those things. It's binding us. Cut them all off. Because he couldn't come to the table bound hand and foot. He couldn't get to the table. He had to be loosed and let him go. I want to get loose, so I can go to the table and have some of that good heavenly food.
Amen.
Have some good fellowship with my friend.
Yes.
Have some good fellowship. He calls the dead and they need revival. I'm glad He calleth His own.
Yes.
By name. Let's stand together. She's going to come to the piano, heads bowed and her eyes closed. I've tried to preach what the Lord put on my heart tonight. If God has spoken to your heart in any way, in the message.